Lisa Gunther with Canadian Calumny Magazine, and I'm here with Kelly Sidorek, our depth of field columnist. And Kelly, in the late September issue, you had a column on some visitors that were at your place, this ranch, and kind of what you learned from them. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I think the overall piece of it was about perspective, or partially anyway. And we had the great fortune to have a young couple. He was from Ireland, she's from New Zealand, but they both, they met working on big cattle stations in Australia. So they're really well experienced and knowledgeable about agriculture in those three countries for sure. So it was so interesting to have them working alongside us, but also then having those conversations around the supper table about, you know, what were the commonalities? What are the differences? And certainly in the commonalities, you know, so many of the, perhaps more on a political level, you know, the challenges with in agriculture of trying to, you know, produce the very most basic commodity of food and yet feeling like one is up against, you know, so much back pressure or pushback, I guess you would say, from the consumers about how are we doing it? Are we doing it right? And, you know, they echo that they're feeling that definitely in other countries, a lot of pushback from that and trying to find a balance and a better, honestly, urban-rural connection that isn't just happening in Canada and North America. That's happening in those other countries as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose that's not surprising. It does. I've sort of heard that as well at conferences I've been at with international delegates. But you also found they did have some interesting insights and experiences to share about different ways of doing things as
well,
right?
Yes, yes. For one thing, they, you know, it, as many will know, I'm from an intensive grazing electric fence setup, and they are way more skilled at that than we are. So we got to just learn some tricks of the trade on how to set up the fencing and do that. And then there was even one example with our yearling herd, and they were explaining to me that with the sheep in that situation, every few weeks they actually take the sheep and sort out the heavies. So then that's always giving a better advantage to the lighter lambs. And it just even made me think about that in our yearling steer scenario, you know, does that, and I know it's not always possible or practical, but would there be a benefit to, you know, even if it was once a month, sorting out a load or whatever it was and staggering the marketing? So that was one thing that really, certainly another thing that they were asking us about, because they kept seeing the pressure and challenges that we were having around water and drought. Mm-hmm. And like to them, it seemed like, well, why don't you have better water systems? It, you know, and then when we tried to explain, well, for many years, we've had vast amounts of naturally occurring water in our dugouts and our streams and our ponds. And now we're, as many viewers are even in worse shape, you know, meeting a lot of challenges around that. So that was interesting when they would put back those kind of questions to us and think, yeah, that is a priority, you know, the water development for us, for example.
Yeah. I am sure there's folks in Australia that could teach us a few things about drought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Iceland recently, and in Iceland, they have a term for that. I think it translates to like a visitor's eyes. So it's sort of like an outsider's perspective, but it's a little more, sounds more welcoming than saying an outsider perspective.
Yes, yes. But and we even shared the story that many of you will have heard about, you know, well, why do you do things that way? And there's the story about the gal going to make Thanksgiving dinner and prep the ham. And so she, for the first time, so she asked her mother, well, how does she do it? And her mom said, well, you know, talk to granny, because that's actually where I learned how to do it. And the most important thing was that you need to cut the shank off the ham bone in order to do it all. Well, okay, that's, the granny did it that way, the mom did it that way, and you know, now the daughter's learning that way. And then when the daughter actually asks the granny about the steps to do it and asks her why you have to cut the shank off the ham, it's like, well, I have, that was the only way it would fit in the roaster. So, you know, that particular roaster and the international delegates had a different take, but it was the same story about, you know, why we do things, and sometimes we don't always know. And so we can, when you're touring people around and are open to questions, because you need to be, mm-hmm. And then you can make some discoveries about why you do things the certain ways that you do.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Kelly, that you learned from your visitors this summer or insights that they shared?
Well, you know, I think it does go back to the first piece we talked about. You know, we all have so much more in common, but we have a lot to learn from each other, too. And, you know, learning alongside them, they're, you know, our kids' age. So they're the perspective of youth and was also really interesting. And we sure enjoyed having the opportunity.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Kelly. Great chatting with you again.
Good. Thanks a lot, Lisa.
And readers can find that column in the late September issue of Canadian Capital Magazine.